Okay, have you been staring at the same walls in your home and thinking, I gotta repaint, or patch that hole, or fix that broken shelf? Or maybe you've taken on some ambitious outdoor project. There is something about being at home that makes people want to fix it up, whether you rent or own, maybe you live in an apartment or a house. So during the pandemic, we thought you might have some do-it-yourself questions, and we have two excellent folks here to help us answer them. So what's got you stuck? Are you unsure how to proceed? Do you need advice on supplies or approach, or maybe whether even to start? You can call us with your DIY home improvement questions at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And we have some great people to help answer those questions. So joining us now on the line is Jen Nawada. She's a landscape contractor for This Old House and Ask This Old House on public television. She's also owner of Nawada Landscape Design. Jen, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks.
So also joining us is Rob Robillard. He's a remodeling contractor in Concord. He runs ConcordCarpenter.com. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
So I am looking forward to this chat. This is one of those cases where we figured, as a team, we had some questions, so we figured listeners probably did too. But to kick us off, let's ask one of ours. Radio Boston's Chris Siderick has been working on a backyard project for weeks, and Chris joins us so he can ask his question. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, weeks is putting it mildly, Tiziana. I looked it up before the show. May 10th, I bought a playground for our backyard, and it is still partially assembled in our garage. We're working on it. I mean, it's quarantine with two young kids. We're doing what we can. But I have a question for you guys, because we are basically at the point we can't build it anymore in our garage. We're ready to take it out to the yard. Now, this is kind of one of those wooden playground structures, swing set, slide, little clubhouse. And basically we're debating whether or not to have it flush with the grass or to put it on a raised platform. And basically my wife and I have done a lot of reading. We both kind of disagree on this. So I'd love for you guys to weigh in. What's the best way to preserve? Obviously we want it to last. We want it to look nice and we want it to be safe for the kids. So, should it be flush with the grass? Should it be raised on a platform? What do we do for borders and liners to make sure that the dirt and the weeds aren't growing through? What's the best way to set that up?
All right, Jen and Rob, who's got this?
I mean, a lot of times we have it raised, so just surrounded by timbers on the side. And just because the grass will get destroyed and never grow underneath it, so have it raised and have playground chips. And, you know, you put a good 5-6 inches in, so it's more absorbent. So when the kids fall down, it's not going to hurt as much. What do you think, Rob?
I absolutely agree. I'd probably use some landscape fabric underneath to keep the weeds out, and I'd make sure that border was wider than the platform of the, you know, the slide and everything, in case they do bounce and fall or roll. You don't want them hitting a timber.
That's very true. Yeah, give it some leeway in the front, a good 5 feet, so when they come flying down, they're not going to crash into it.
Chris, all sounds right, like you can do that and maybe be done just about, what, October, November?
You have time. Just do it piece by piece.
That's what we're
doing.
That's it. Chip away at it.
All right, Chris, thanks for that, for getting us started. Jen and Rob, have you been getting a lot of calls from folks who are trying to tackle a nagging project? And what are they looking to do? What are people working on right now?
Who's first?
Rob or Jen.
Okay,
Jen,
go
for it.
Rob, you go.
Rob.
All right, Rob,
there
you go. Who's up first? I think
Rob.
The answer for me is mostly people are calling with rot repair. It happens every summer, but it seems to be more now. They're out in their decks more. They're in their backyard more. They're noticing things on their house. And I think they're just working on it's a thing, the pet peeves and the things that have been nagging them for a while. We're getting those kind of calls. We're certainly not seeing an increase in additions or major remodels and stuff like that. We're still busy with that, but that's just normal stuff for us.
How about you,
on my
Jen?
Side, oh my gosh, people, the phone does not stop, and people finally get to spend time in their own homes. So like you said, Rob, everyone's looking at it from a different perspective, from somewhere that they'd never got to be. So everyone wants another outdoor space, an overflow space from the interior of the house. So patios, there's been so many phone calls for pools, patios, just little other outdoor rooms, outdoor kitchens. Another huge thing was raised beds. Like, so many people are growing their own food this year, and it's so exciting to see. And even if they've never done it before, they're giving it a try.
I think that's kind of cool.
What are you, listeners, what are you working on? You know, is it a little thing? Do you have a question about how to fix that leaky faucet that you're now hearing drip, drip, drip all the time? Or maybe you've never painted a room before and you want to change a color? Or maybe you're doing something bigger outside where you've decided to grow some of your own food now that you're eating at home more and you want to know the best approach to that. Whatever the question is, we are lucky to have some people who can help answer it. And as you well know, it is hard to get this kind of free advice. So call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Are there projects, Rob, I'll start with you, that people just shouldn't be taking on their own?
I call that remodeling, not remodeling. Yeah, sure. There's, you know, it's funny, a lot of things look easier than they are, right? And a lot of times folks have time on their hands and a little bit of knowledge and they end up getting in too deep. For example, they decide maybe they want to resurface their bathroom. And so that means, you know, they're going to take the toilet out, maybe the vanity and just the tile floor. And then they don't realize it, but, you know, maybe there's been a pipe leaking or water has been getting between the tub and the subfloor for years and the floor is rotted. Or there's a joist that's damaged because maybe a plumber 60 years ago drilled through it and now water has rotted it. So it kind of grows and grows and grows. So I do think that sometimes there are jobs, yes, that are a little bit, the scope could be a little bit too deep to get involved in.
Jen, is that true outside too?
Oh my gosh. Let's play off the mildew and rot from the house. I mean, I had my own house painted by Morrow's painting from this old house because I had just mildew all over my house and it was overwhelming for me to even take care of. So I had to hire a contractor in that aspect because I don't have time to do that. But everything else, like sometimes you might need an excavator to dig out a base for a patio. And so one of the things like outdoor kitchens, you need electrical and gas. And so those require permits for the plumbing and electric. So and there's a lot of steps involved for safety too. So, I mean, I always encourage yeah. go for it, do your home project, but you got to be safe about it. You got to call DigSafe before you put a shovel on the ground so you don't hit any utilities, you know, all those safety aspects.
So. And my husband always says, any project that might turn into a bomb or a fire, we don't do ourselves.
Which yeah,
I think is probably exactly. A pretty good way to think about it. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We'll start with Barbara in Walpole. Barbara, what's your question?
So my question is, we have a toilet in, you know, a spare bathroom, and the toilet always needs to be, as my husband says, just jiggle it. So it has to be flushed a second time. Can you piecemeal it and just replace the parts, or does the whole thing have to be replaced because he's really dragging his feet?
So, Rob. Jen, when you say jiggle it, do you have to jiggle it to stop it from flushing?
Yes, from filling, and sometimes it won't even flush, so I have to do it a second time, and then it takes a long time to fill, and it just constantly runs.
So that's
and it's Barbara. Rob, her name's Barbara.
Oh, Barbara, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm thinking. Barbara, right. I'm sorry. Barbara, I would recommend the first thing you could do is replace that flapper, the flapper mechanism, the chain, and see if that improves the problem. If that doesn't, it could be a and I would probably look at the toilet at that point if that doesn't address it. If the toilet's over 15, 20 years old or something like that, it might be time for a more efficient, low flush toilet anyway. But it's usually the rubber flapper flushing mechanism, the chain, that gets hung up. And the flapper could be deformed now or, you know, not sealing properly. And that's why it's doing that.
All right, the calls are coming in fast and furious. So let's take another one here, 1-800-423-8255. We've got Phil on the line from Groton. Phil, go ahead.
Hi. I'm considering building a small natural stone, like retaining wall in my backyard, just using some rocks that I've dug up around my property. It's going to be about 2 feet high. And I was wondering, is my best bet to kind of just dry stack it or... And if so, kind of what type of footing should I use in order to kind of mortar it and to hold the rocks in place?
Jen?
I mean, you definitely would need a footing for that. So you dig down about 12 inches, you do your crushed stone footing. And then as you start to build your wall, maybe put the the mortar behind the wall, but you also have to remember like drainage and backfilling it, landscape fabric. I mean, a lot of times we put a perforated pipe behind the wall wrapped in the landscape fabric and crushed down around it, so the water has a way out. So in the winter when it freezes, it's not going to push out.
What do you mean by push out, Jen?
Oh, when the water freezes, it's going to expand, and if it's trapped behind your wall, it could bust through your wall and push it out when the water is frozen. So it has to have room. The water has to be able to get away.
All right, let's take another call. 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got Jennifer on the line from Mansfield. Jennifer, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a breezeway. It's probably about 10 by 12, and the flooring is pretty beat up. I want to call it linoleum, but it's not like individual sticky squares. It's more of a sheeting. And we wanted to try to replace it ourselves, and we didn't know. It's very high traffic, so we didn't know the best quality to put down if we're going to manage it ourselves and how to go about it, you know, in order. And then just the linoleum obviously runs underneath the baseboard edges. I just wanted to let you know that.
Should I call her Barbara? Just kidding. So Jen.
Just Jen.
I think what I would do there is, first of all, peel up a little section in the corner and see how many layers are there. Hopefully it's just one. And I think I would definitely take up the baseboard all the way around on all sides and leave the door trim. If the door trim comes all the way down, just leave that and work with the baseboard only. And then try to peel it up. And the best way to get that up would be to use some sort of almost like an edger or a scraper. We use these scraper blades attached to our heavy drills, but they sell these kind of scraper type shovels. And even in landscapers use those edgers. You could use something like that to get underneath it and peel it up. That and some pry bars, peel it all up, and hopefully it doesn't leave a bunch of mastic underneath it. And if it does, you have to scrape that up. The only other thing that you may have to be concerned about is there could be another layer of plywood over that subfloor. They often call that an underlayment. And years ago, they would use like a Lumon or a quarter inch plywood, and they would nail it every 8 inches. So you'd have to pull that up probably and then put down new underlayment. But it's a pretty easy job for the most part. It's just labor intensive.
All right, let's keep going. 800-423-8255. We've got Lourdes on the line from Jamaica Plain. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This is very timely. I have a patio with these bricks in my backyard that every year get covered in moss. And then eventually this year I've got lots of weeds coming up with the moss. So I can't replace it. But I wanted to know if I could, once I remove the moss, if I could use fine stone dust to fill in between them so that I don't get the weeds, or something that I've heard called micro dust that is like a cement. So I need some suggestions as to how to repair that.
So once you scrape all the weeds and clean out the joints and you create room you create a void for where the weeds once were, you would sweep usually polymeric sand in it. So you sweep it in dry, and once everything is in place, you blow it off as much as you can, and then you water it in, and it solidifies the joints. And I'm not going to say you're not going to get weeds again, but it definitely will deter them and help solidify your joints.
It's called polymeric sand, is that right?
Polymeric sand.
All right, let's grab another one. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got Tim on the line from the Seaport. Tim, what's your question?
Hi, my question is quick and simple. I'd like to paint the walls in my apartment, but they haven't been painted or washed in over 15 years. Do I need to wash the walls before I can paint them? And is there a particular kind of paint that repels dirt?
So, Tim, absolutely, it's all in the prep, right? Good paint job, good adhesion is all in the prep. And you have to think about whether there might have been smokers or cooking grease, people's hands, greasy hands. So you absolutely have to do something to prepare that surface. Some painters will etch the entire surface by sanding it. What I like to do is I usually have my subcontractor wash the walls with a little bit of TSP and bleach. They wash the walls and then they sand it. And then as far as painting the walls, I would just get a good quality wall paint, probably a latex paint, and just paint it and you'll be fine. The last part of your question asked something about, I can't remember what it was.
Oh, what kind of paint should he use that will be dirt resistant, stain resistant, et cetera?
So nothing's really dirt resistant, but you can get a washable paint. Like years ago, there was eggshell, and there's another finish they use now. I can't think it's off the top of my head, but a paint store would advise you on that, a good quality paint that you can wash, wipe down.
Okay, we've still got a few calls out there. I'm not sure we're going to have time to get more to them. We only have a couple minutes left for our, you know, sort of a hard close to the show, and I want to ask you each one more quick question. So, Jen, I'll go to you first. For somebody who is not experienced at planting flowers or plants, they want something easy to try for the first time. What's a good thing to start with?
A great thing to start with are planters. Get a planter, you know, just some reasonable size. Like this year, I got involved with another company and we brought planters to people's homes so they could try it. We called it Boston's Victory Gardens. Here's a 1x3 planter, put three plants in it and see how you do. I just encourage everyone to try it, stick it in the ground, don't bury it too deep. Sorry, stick it in the container because it's manageable. You can move it around. You could fix the drainage. You could fix the sunlight. You could bring it to a sunnier spot or a shadier spot, depending on what plant you have. So a couple things to look for is sun requirements, water requirements, and, you know, do you want to grow a vegetable or do you want to grow a flower and just stick it in the ground and let it go?
Excellent. Okay. And Rob, for you, this question's come up a few times. For folks who don't have central air conditioning and may want to install an air conditioner window unit or a portable AC unit, tips for securing that and installing it right in our last minute or so.
So just briefly, it has to fit the window size, right? So a lot of times they will fall out or people are worried about people breaking in. You can do a little L bracket between the, assuming it's a double hung window, you can do it on the lower sash and the upper sash and put a couple screws in there, secure it in place. Or I've seen some people use blocks of wood and put them on either side of the sash. I actually prefer mechanical fastening. So an L bracket, some sort of screws. Additionally, the unit itself might even screw to the lower sash. And that's the best way to secure it in place so it doesn't fall out.
All right. Well, this has been fun. Sorry we left some calls on the line. I know it's great to get this advice. That's Rob Robillard, a remodeling contractor in Concord. He runs the ConcordCarpenter.com. Rob, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And Jen Nawada, a landscape contractor for This Old House and Ask This Old House on public TV and owner of Nawada Landscape Design. Jen, thank you.
Thank you. Everyone get planting.